some antibiotics to take. And if you've ever been given those, these things were huge. They're like that big, I think. And, you know, you had to, exactly, I had to take them twice a day for 10 days. And it didn't matter what liquid I tried, it just was a tough pill to swallow. But if I wanted the benefit, I had to take the pill. And so this morning, the name of the message, the title, is A Tough Pill to Swallow. And you'll see why. You all may be laughing. I will not be. So I've been working on a study on the Holy Spirit for a while. And the passage 3 weeks ago that I happened to come to, because it was in my study, was the passage that we're going to talk about today. And I don't know if you've ever struggled with something and you kind of reverse engineer your Bible study. You struggle with something, so then you look up passages and you try to, you know, build some conviction through passages. Well, I was studying on the Holy Spirit. I was not studying for what I'm going to share. So it was challenging, to say the least, to study this passage and this morning to share it with you. But I believe that that's what the scriptures are designed to do. They're designed to transform us. And as one great professor said, the passage will always exegete you before you exegete it. And that's definitely what the passage that we're going to take a look at today did. But before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you that we can be together this morning as your people. Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is not only inside of us, but he's among us this morning. Father, we want to honor you, Father, in all that we do. Father, we pray for Karin. It's great to see her this morning. Father, she is reflecting on the great life of her dad. And Father, we ask and pray that she would feel your comfort, Father, not only from you, but also through us. Father, we pray that you'll fill her mind with great memories, Father, that they could celebrate and that she could continue the legacy, God, through stories, Father, through living it out. We pray for Amanda as she lost her grandmother. God, we pray that you'll bless their trip. Please comfort them. And Father, we, God, despite whatever our political views are, Father, we lift up our country after what happened yesterday. And God, we pray that we will be a people that show that King Jesus is who we worship and who we want to imitate. God, we love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you can be turning your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 4, that's where we're going to be at. And one of the things, as I was studying this the last few weeks, it was quite interesting as I'm studying it, and I wasn't planning on preaching, and I was like, this passage is pretty basic. There's not a lot of Greek insight that's going to help me with the passage. There's not grammar, for the most part, that's going to help. It's just a pretty straightforward passage. And I really appreciate Dr. Snodgrass, his comment on our passage. He says that application of this text is straightforward. It requires obedience. And so I'm going to do my best to not make this a difficult passage by trying to, you know, go anywhere that it's not. It's a very straightforward passage and basic. And as I study it and study it, I'm like, am I missing something on here? It's just like, it's a straight shot. But we have to apply it. And like I said, it's a tough pill to swallow because there'll be some areas that I'll be sharing where I did not follow this passage. and it impacted others. And so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, before we get started, the section that's actually right before our passage, there's a comparison of the old self before we were Christians and a comparison of taking that off and putting on the new self. And that we're defined now by the new self. Once we came to learn truth in Jesus, that truth is in him, we now put that on. And that's what we reflect. And as Christians, our lives, individually and collectively, should be reflecting the truth that's in Jesus to each other and to those around us. So let's pick up in our passage here. Verse 25, chapter 4, Ephesians 4, 25. And I'll be reading out of the NRSV. It says, "So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors. For we are members of one another." I don't know how many times I read this week. I would end it, "We are members of one body." That's not what it says. We're members of one another. Which is saying the same thing, but Paul's making a point here. We're members of one another. So put off falsehood, speak the truth to our neighbors. Be angry and do not sin. It's kind of puzzling. Be angry, huh? Okay. And do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Point number one is helpful. Helpful. We want to have helpful speech that builds up each other. We're members of one another. And I want to ask you, I hate to kind of bring up something maybe recently happened or not, but it's certainly happened to you if you're human. How does it feel when you are just lied to? Just bold-faced lied to. Why does that pierce deep down inside when you are just lied to? The person that's initiating the conversation just lies to you. Or you ask more questions. Maybe you start asking and then the person doesn't reveal information that would be very helpful to the story. Truthful information, they withhold it. How does that make you feel when you think about that relationship with you and that person? It breaks down trust. It's hurtful. Some of us, well, not us, some of you all are better at being able to, like Gary talked about, "Hey, I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be patient on this." Some of us, it's more difficult. But we're called here to speak the truth to each other. And it says, all of you to your neighbors. And in this context, it's brothers and sisters we're supposed to be speaking truthful to. And of course, it applies outside of the congregation. But when our words come out of our mouth, there should be truth in those, because the previous section says that truth is found in Jesus. We speak truth because we're members of one another. We're brothers and sisters. When you become a Christian, when you put on the new self, you actually become part of this large family. You don't get to choose who's in the family. God chose. But we have to speak truthful to one another. And this truth-telling, it's an essential character of not only the individual Christian, but of the community. And so I want to ask you all, individually and collectively, are we a people that is known for truth? When we speak to one another, are we speaking truth? or are we speaking lies? Because here it says, put off falsehood. The punch of this statement is stop lying. Stop lying. And you would think, well, this is can be written to Christians. Stop lying. Stop stealing. No, this is written to Christians. So there has to be some application for us today of stop lying. And there's different sides of lying. There's different sides of truth because we want to speak things that are helpful to one another so that we can build each other up. And that requires speaking the truth to one another. There's not only a telling of the truth if you're initiating the conversation, but there's also a truth in if somebody asks you something, that you respond in truth. So there's so many different sides of truth, but Jesus is truth. So out of love for one another, because we're members of one another, we speak truth to one another. And I've been reflecting a lot about this passage, thinking about the entirety of my life and different times where there were helpful speech. And I remember in high school, I was really struggling. It was one of the times that my mother had got locked up, and it happened during lunch break, and a lot of kids at school had saw it, and I found out through them. And I remember I was just very confused and angry. And there were a couple physical altercations as a result of that that I got into with other students. And one verbal one with a teacher. And I got kicked out of school. And my friends knew what happened. But I had no one to talk to. And you could feel the awkwardness when they were with me afterwards. But, you know, I can't blame them. They're high school. They weren't trained for this. But I remember out of the blue one day at lunch. I don't know if you guys had it at your high school. If you ate lunch there, you'd take your trays and you'd, you know, put it on the conveyor belt or whatever. We didn't have a conveyor belt. I went to a small school. But there was a little window you'd put your stuff in. And I'm there confused. I'm upset. And this is, you know, weeks later after these altercations that happened, putting my tray down, getting ready to leave. And this lunch lady says, Tony, can I talk to you for a second? Sure. She goes, this isn't you. Don't hide behind your anger. Be you. And I wasn't expecting that. I'm trying to just hand in my plate. And this lunch lady loved me enough to instill truth in me. When we see our brothers and sisters hurting, it says, build up according to the need. She was trying to build me up according to the need. That's one way we can live this passage out. It's not just speaking truth. In a sense of, you know, were you cursing? No, I wasn't cursing. Are you sure? Because not that. It's we can speak truth. Hey, man, how you doing? A lot of people are hurting. Just engaging in love and truth. How you doing? Speaking truth into their lives. In the passage, it moves on. It says, be angry. Which is, it's a command. Be angry and do not sin. So to be human is to have emotion, and anger is an emotion. There's nothing wrong with being provoked to anger. But it is when you sin, when you take action upon that. So to be human is to have emotion. But the principle is so interesting. Gary and I had no conversation whatsoever. I didn't know he was doing communion until I saw him this morning. But this love and this kindness, you know, we're to have short accounts of offenses when it comes to our brothers and sisters. Very short accounts. And we should have quickness to forgive them when they offend us. And the reason why, he says, so we don't give the devil a foothold. So the principle And it's tough. Well, am I supposed to work all this out before the sun goes down? Because that's what the passage says. It would be awesome if you could. Sometimes you got a night of prayer. Okay? You got to pray to get your mind right before your mouth opens. Because then you're going to retaliate and then offend the brother or sister that you were offended by. So the principle is, let's be prayerful to have short accounts of these offenses of our brothers and sisters and be quick to forgive. And do it quickly, if possible. Okay? But we can't say, well, this or that or whatever, and oh, I get it. But we have to be quick and we have to have an open heart to have a short account of our brothers and sisters. Because we're to be speaking truth that actually builds up the body. That's what we want to be. Again, point one is helpful. We want to be helpful. And a practical is when you're prompted, when you're provoked in your anger to sin, this may seem pretty basic because it is, just ask a question. Don't respond. Ask a question. Whatever the question is, okay, I'm sure a better question is on target with what you're talking about, but even if it's, hey, what's for dinner tonight? What does it have to do with anything? Slowing down and asking questions helps you to look at the situation and say, okay, there's probably more information here that I need to know. You ever responded when you're provoked and you start digging yourself a hole and then the person says, well, did you know XYZ? And you're like, oh, I didn't know that. My anger that was provoked would have immediately went away if I would have asked a question. And so we're not going to look at it, but if you want to write it down, Proverbs chapter 18, it is amazing how this entire passage we're going to look at, there's so many overlaps, so many practicals of anger, of speech, asking good questions, seeking to understand. But we need to do that. Ask a question. And as I say, it was a tough pill to swallow. Because if I would have done this week, actually a week and a half ago, but if I would have done this, I wouldn't have had an example that I'll be sharing a little bit later. So this is what I've committed to. And even if it's, like I said, off base, like what does that question have to do with anything? It helps you to slow down and give the Spirit some room to work with you. Because, man, once your mouth starts, or at least mine, when it gets going, man, you can dig yourself a big hole. And so let's not be people like that. And it's also interesting that it says thieves need to stop stealing. You need to work with your own hands, so you can meet the needs of others. And this week, actually it was 2 weeks ago when we had like that storm that came out of the blue, my neighbor comes over a little bit later and says, hey, did you hear that? And I was like, yeah, the storm? He's like, no, that snapping sound. I was like, no, I didn't. He's like, you want to come outside? And I'm thinking, great, my tree fell on his house or something. But the fence that's between our houses, the whole thing, and it was probably from there to there, it snapped. All of them snapped right at the base. Oh, wow. And so he was like, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to start digging these out. And I was like, well, we'll dig them out because it's kind of our fence, right? And he's like, oh, yeah. So I'm thinking it's 1 or 2 hours of work maybe. Yeah. So 5.5 hours later, we got them dug out. But Paul here is actually commending hard work with hands. A lot of the way it is today, it may be something that's not glorified. It's like, oh, yeah. But Paul is commending those who work with their hands. And I got to tell you, I want to commend you guys who work with your hands for a living. Because I did it for 5 hours and I thought I did something. You guys are doing it for 50 hours, 60 hours a week, day in and day out. And so, but it's based, Paul is saying, stop stealing. go work with your hands so that you can meet the needs within the community. We want to be helpful. And reflecting on this passage of helpful words that build up, there's a moment that happened to me that I just never forget. It was after I had my first stroke, and I was working in occupational therapy, and the right side of my body was not working very well at all. And so I was coming up with exercises on top of what they were giving me at home to try to work on. And one of those was Battleship. I wouldn't play anyone because I was so discouraged, but I would set the Battleship up, and I would try to pick up the ships and put them on there. And then I was ambitious, and I thought, oh, the little red pegs, I don't know what they're called. I'm going to grab those and put them on, and the white ones. And then I thought, oh, I'm going to do red and white, and then I'm going to do white, red, red, white. All of these things. I thought, you know, I want to rehab my right side. And I was so discouraged. I could barely pick up the largest ship to put it on there. And I was sitting at the dinner table, and I would always wait till everyone was in the rooms and everything, because it was just so humiliating and discouraging. And I was sitting there just like, is this the way it is? And my oldest daughter walks in, and she told me, she goes, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. She goes, let's start with the bigger ones. You're going to be okay. And I remember thinking after she left, like, if she can love me, if this is the state that I'm in the rest of my life, she loves me enough to speak the truth and to meet the need. This is what we need to be for our brothers and sisters. We have to speak truth that's the need. She didn't probably even realize. She saw it. She could have said, you can't even pick up the biggest one. She said, no, let's just start with the biggest ones. And I just sat there and I thought, there's hope. Even if I never can pick it up, I know that somebody's there. And we need to do that for our brothers and sisters. And Wednesday after service, if y'all were here, Jeff had a really great message that sparked a lot of conversation. And Lewis and I were speaking after service. And one of the things I was telling him, I don't know if you guys know Lewis and his wife very well, but, you know, they not only have health challenges. And, you know, if you don't have health challenges, it's easy to just get up and get to church. And for them, it's not always easy. And I was talking to him, and I said, bro, I just want to share with you, I am really inspired. When you're here, man, you are joyful. I was like, I want to be like that. And he's not going to brag on himself, so I will. He was like, well, you know, I wasn't always like this. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. And he said, no, Tony, a brother a long time ago said, hey, can I talk to you for a moment? I said, yeah. He was like, you really should smile more. And I was like, what do you mean, bro? You're always smiling. He was like, well, I wasn't always like this. And I was like, well, help a brother out. What did you do? Because, you know, I've been told this about a million times, to smile more. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He said he would look in the mirror and say that three times. He took the brother's loving input, put it with scripture, put it into practice, and it's clearly transformed him. I mean, it's not a smile, it's joy. It's went from a smile to transformed his entirety, where him and his wife are joyful people. And it's inspiring. And we should speak based on the need so that our helpful speech will build up. And it is our individual and collective responsibility to do this. Turn over real quick with me to 1 Thessalonians. All right, let me get going. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them, so that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. And this is a collective command from Paul to the Thessalonians. You all admonish the idle. He didn't say, oh, the leaders do it. You all admonish the idle, because that's based on the need, not out of hate, oh, you're idle. No, it's a need. Encourage the discouraged. There's a need. The person's discouraged. What do? Hit him with a hammer? No. You encourage him. The weak, which probably means those who are sick. What do? You help them. You don't say, oh, back hurts, neck hurts. I don't care if you had surgeries. Get up. You don't do that. Based on the need, it's our collective responsibility to actually speak truth to one another. It's commanded, but based on the need. So a hammer doesn't work on all instances, right? You know, I needed a shovel, and then my neighbor gave me this, like, specific little shovel. He's like, hey, why don't you try this? I was like, why didn't you give me that earlier? He's like, because I was using it. He's like, yeah, I give the rookie the regular shovel, and I'm going to use a specified shovel. But anyways, I hope you guys get the point there. We want to have helpful speech. Point number two is hurtful. Hurtful speech tears down. And I don't know if you have ever been grieved by someone that you really care about, or you've actually grieved someone who you really care about. It just hits way different when it's someone that you really love and you really care about. When you're hurt by them, there's just something that takes you back. And like I said, unfortunately, this passage I'll be sharing about this section, you know, I really hurt my wife in a way this last couple weeks that really grieved her. And it's something that we'll look at, this section of the passage that we're going to look at, that was very applicable to me, that made me reflect way more on the power of words and how those can build up or they can tear down. And more often than not, my words, they can tear down when I'm thinking they're being helpful, but they're not. And if you want to write this down for time, I want to look at it, but we won't. But Isaiah 63, 7 through 10, it's being recalled of God's love, how gracious and merciful he is, that he brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And then it says that, but they rebelled and they grieved the Holy Spirit. God showed his patience, his love, and what did they do? They rebelled. And it says that it grieved the Holy Spirit. And we pick up in our passage in verse 30. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. He takes this passage that the Israelites, despite the amazing thing that God had done for them, they rebelled and they grieved the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul picks up this passage here, and he starts specifically talking about the way we speak to one another, that it actually can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And he reminds them, this Holy Spirit, you've been sealed. There's a stamp on you, which means in the ancient world, this is ownership. Paul's saying, you as believers have been stamped. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of the living God. You are God's. You're not your own. You've taken off the old self. You've put on the new. You're God's. Remember that. But when you look at this list, I mean, it's, you question again, are we talking about Christians? Don't speak this way to one another. And Dr. Lynn Kohick, she comments on our passage. And it says, in Paul's description here in Ephesians 4:31, listen to this. The escalating intensity grows from smoldering frustrations in one's heart, bitterness, to open flames of anger, to a wildfire of the tongue that shouts and slanders, culminating in malice, the utter lack of virtue. The term malice can refer broadly to wickedness, or more specifically, as here, ill will. What started out as just being provoked, the sun has went down probably multiple times, and it's stewing. And then what happens? This list, you want a top list of what tears down, what grieves the Holy Spirit? Here's your list. Our words are powerful. It escalated to shouting. Clamor is how mine says it. Clamor, it's, you know, it's not the most, self-explanatory word, but it's a shouting. You're provoked to now you're literally shouting at one another. You're spewing just this stuff all over the person that's listening, and it's tearing down. And growing up, one of my favorite games to play was Mortal Kombat. I don't know if any of you have ever played that, and some of you are probably like, you shouldn't bring that up in church, but I'm just saying, it was my favorite game. But there was a character named Reptile, and if any of you have played Mortal Kombat, what does Reptile do? You guys know? He spews acid venom all over. So what he does, his mouth opens, he spews venom all over. And when I think about this, I'm like, that's the picture that I get of a brother or sister talking to another Christian, spewing this venom all over. And it says even slander. So you're spewing things on other people, about other people. You're talking about other people. You're being a reptile. You're just spewing it out of your mouth. Paul says we have to rid ourselves of that. And for me, I want to say that, you know, again, I was studying this passage, working on the Holy Spirit project I'm working on. I come to this and sharing with my wife about it, and she was like, oh, yeah. And I was telling her, I was like, hey, I remember 3 or 4 years ago, my wife was sharing with me. She was crying, and she was like, I just feel that God is really grieved about a certain situation. She's like, it's just not right. And it was interesting. I was telling her, I was like, yeah, I'm coming to this passage and I'm seeing it more. Like, man, you didn't even know, but you were speaking this passage that I'm studying. Like, God is grieved when we speak this way. And we had some good conversation. And then next week, I was provoked to anger. And my response to my wife really, really hurt her. To the point where she was crying, and you don't ever want that. When you grieve someone that you really love, it's the worst. And then, you know, I'm here. It's my family's here. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. The one thing that you also don't want, if you have kids, you don't want the kids to get involved. And my kids heard my daughter or my wife crying. And they asked her, "Why are you crying?" Said, "Well, you know, Daddy's feeling some things." And I was just like, man, the very thing that you're studying, like you're not applying it. And the thing is I didn't even shout or anything. I mean, I probably maybe raised my voice, but it's what I said. It's how I said it. And our words can tear down. We want our words to build up. So we worked through it, felt good about it. And I'm apparently, well, have you ever earned yourself a discipling time? Like, you said, what? For real, did you really say that? You ever, maybe I'm the only one. There's times when you don't know, and somebody, "Hey, can I talk to you about," you're like, "Oh, wow, I didn't even know that. I'm sorry, you know, blah, blah, blah." But sometimes you just earn yourself a sit-down talk with someone. Yeah. Well, a couple days later, I was provoked again. And I was like, oh, I remember the passage. Like, I'm studying, literally that morning, I was studying the passage again. Okay, I'm going to ask myself a question here. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to think through things. And then there's another character in Mortal Kombat that I became. His name's Sub-Zero. And he has ice in his veins, and he just freezes people. He's cold. And in my mind, I'm like, well, I'm not gonna say anything. I'm gonna kind of just, you know, put this passage into practice. I'm not gonna open my mouth. And then later on in the day, I'm like, what's her problem? I'm doing the passage, you know, like, you know. And then she's like, I was like, what's going on? She's like, you've just literally been the coldest person to me today. Like, what did I do? You've ignored me. And I'm like, oh. It's like, well, I was putting the passage into practice. I didn't say anything. Like, yeah. So there's words that we can say without saying them. So this application, if you're not someone who spews venom like reptile, you may be a Sub-Zero. So there's multiple applications, but you know, it was just a tough experience to go through. But I think I finally got it. It's not like this is new. My wife, you know, it's not like in the 20 years of marriage she's never said this. But it just really impacted me that God wants me to be helpful, not hurtful. I want to build up. I don't want to tear down. And the other thing is, when we're hurtful, our family at home and our family in the congregation right here is affected. And I don't want to be that way. I don't ever want my kids to ask, why are you crying? And for my wife to say, well, Dad and I are going through something. I don't want that. So I'm grateful that the Spirit is revealing these things to me in my study, and that I'm just kind of bent sometimes on learning the hard way. So I don't want to do that anymore. I'd kind of like to, you know, have some different examples. But we got to turn the corner here. Helpful, hurtful. Well, what do we do? Well, point three is helper. Point three is helper. Let's finish out our passage here. 4, verse 32. And again, Gary and I didn't even talk. Well, we talked, but not about this. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God. As beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The command is pretty simple: to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, and forgive each other as Christ forgave us. There's something about kindness, isn't there? When someone's kind to you, it's just like, oh man, I want to sit down and just let this person just talk to me. I don't know. You could be having a bad day and the person at the cash register, they're just kind. Or even you're being a booger. You're spewing on them and they're still kind back. There's something about it. You just can't explain it. You have to experience it. And one of the things I think about the Coldwaters, and they are kind, tenderhearted people. They just are. They just love. And what's interesting is, as I mentioned earlier, how my tearing down can affect the family. It's interesting how their kindness affects the family. Their kids are kind. Lissa's kind. Lissa was like, you know, my dad's kind. I'm marrying a kind person. Israel's kind. Last week when they had, I can't remember the relative's name, but their little girl was here, and I was telling Laura, I was just like smiling, like, man, I remember when she was like this little. She's so sweet and kind. Kindness. We're called to be kind, tenderhearted. And one of the things in that, when we combine the first point about being helpful, kindness isn't just this passive kindness. It's also active. It's even when you're being a booger, I'm going to love you through it. I'm going to walk with you. I'm not going to spew venom on you like reptile. I'm not going to sub-zero you. I'm going to walk with you and love you and speak the truth to you. Just like the lady did to me when I was walking, you know, my plates up. She spoke the truth to me. Let's be kind to one another. We have examples among us. And, of course, there's many of you that I could share kind memories of. But we got to get going. But we're called to be imitators of God. And when you look at this, he's our helper. When you look at how we're described in this passage, we're beloved children. God loves us. It says, Jesus loves us. He follows the example of the Father. He demonstrated it in his self-giving sacrifice. So now we're to imitate God. In our passage earlier about the Holy Spirit, he sealed us with the Spirit. It's not just so, hey, you're saved. You got the Spirit, you're saved. No, he enables us to live this out. God provides us with the helper. The Spirit is a he. He's active in our lives. He's leading us into truth. He wants us to please the Father, not to grieve him. And he's inside of us. He's among us. How often are you guys reflecting on the kindness of our God? The love and kindness should inspire us to have short records of wrongs and a quickness to forgive our brothers and sisters. So this study, guys, for me, it was a tough pill to swallow. Like Dr. Snodgrass said, it's a straightforward application. It requires obedience. So we looked at helpful, which builds up. We looked at hurtful, which tears down. We've looked at helper. Imitate him. So a few applications here as we close out. The first one is we want to be helpful. Build up according to the need. So let's be praying for God to help us to understand the needs of our brothers and sisters. Okay? We got to open our mouths and ask God to help us. We also have to open up our mouths and our eyes to have dialogue with brothers and sisters. Okay? So let's be looking for needs and how we can be helpful to that need, specifically like we looked in 1 Thessalonians. If somebody's discouraged, you encourage them. Okay? So it's not admonish. There's a time for that, it says, for the idle. Okay? So, but let's be asking God to open up our minds to that. And one of the ways that was really impactful to me, a few weeks ago, I had to just pause in service and reflect on it. So Kirsten got a text that a parent doesn't want, that your child's in the emergency room. So she left. And I really appreciate what Mark did. I'm fully convinced the Spirit said, Mark, you need to pray. Collectively, we got to pray for her based on the need. And after he prayed, I just sat there and I thought, man, this is what it's about. This was right. It wasn't, well, we have an agenda. Let's get to this last song. Let's get people out of here. No. This is worship. Praying for our brothers and sisters based on the need. I've just been reflecting on that the last few weeks. Like, man, this is right. And the Spirit prompts us. We act in one way or the other. We reject it or we follow it. And I just was really inspired by that. Second thing, when provoked, we already talked about it, ask a question. Any question. Okay? Try to refine it and get to a good question that's on topic, but it doesn't matter. Ask a question. Read Proverbs chapter 18 so we can better understand the person. Thirdly, lastly, share with someone this week and build a habit of expressing how their service is building up the body. Okay, find a person, share with them. Lots of different ways that the body's built up. Brother, sister, I really appreciate you serving the kids. Brother, sister, I appreciate you. I know you have to get up early to sing, get to song practice to sing. I appreciate that. That helps us. I appreciate whatever it is. There's a million different ways. Hey, I appreciate you remembering to give me this. I was out there blabbing my mouth. You know? People back keeping our speakers going. You know, there's just so many different things. But let's find someone this week or even today and share with them how what they're doing is building up the body and how you appreciate it. Be sincere. There's a million examples if we would take just a moment to think about it. Even the person next to you, even if you don't know them very well, you've witnessed something that they've done to build up the body. So let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Father, we thank you that you just reveal to us, Father, your will in Scripture. Father, we thank you that you reveal to us your will, God, through our brothers and sisters. God, we want to be in step with the Spirit, Father, not just with our speech, but in our lives. We want our lives to be those that build each other up. Father, we want to be those who, Father, are quick, Father, to forgive, who have short accounts, who are kind to one another. Father, we thank you that you're a helper. God, we thank you that you don't just give us Scripture and say, yeah, work it out, Father. You give us your very self. Your Spirit is inside of us and among us, and he is helping us to be more like you in your Son. We pray for today. We pray, Father, we can reflect on ways that the Spirit is working on us to help us be more like you. We thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.